Welcome to a special Halloween edition of Small Town Tales, number one of three additional October podcasts. Now, here's your host, C.L. Thomas.
This is your host, C.L. Thomas, for a special broadcast of Small Town Tales podcast, October Nights, which is released every Friday this month of October. Of course, we did get a late start due to some technical issues, but that only means Halloween will last a couple more weeks. Who doesn't love October anyways? My special guests are Haunted History BC, Gina Armstrong and Victoria Van Sick of British Columbia, Canada. Both are avid photographers and are historians. They focus their work on preserving and sharing the heritage folklore and ghost stories of British Columbia. Their most recent work is Dead Things, a gorgeous work of art in which we will be giving away several copies this week when you follow, like, and share our Instagram. Our Instagram profile is hashtag SmallTownTalesPodcast. Again, it's hashtag SmallTownTalesPodcast to win this Dead Things calendar, which is absolutely gorgeous. All you have to do is like, subscribe, and share, and make sure you use that hashtag. Haunted History BC is here to share some spooky ghost stories and legends around British Columbia. In this episode, we will discuss haunted schools. But before we do that, let's start with you guys telling us about yourselves and how you got started as Haunted History BC.
Hi there. Well, thanks.
Hello.
We are so happy to be here. So thank you. I am Gina Armstrong of Haunted History BC. So I'm half of the haunted. And we got started originally, I think it was about 2017 where we started touring places kind of on our own. And we were fascinated with spooky locations and the historical significance of heritage locations as well. So at the time, we weren't really recording anything public. So we went public during 2020. We did our very first calendar, speaking of calendars. So we did our very first calendar just called Haunted, and it was dedicated to Vancouver Island and haunted locations. And then from there, we started up a website and our social media, and people really enjoyed what we were doing. So, you know, pretty soon we were on podcasts. And so we're very happy to be on this one. And we love to share our spooky historical tales.
Yeah. And I'm Banchik, and I'm also the other half of Haunted History. And as Gina mentioned with the calendar, so we also ventured into another calendar with a local author as well. So we put that together as well. And from now on, we're just like visiting all the sites. We're doing a lot of historical research, and we're also getting involved with some, also, I would say, like investigators as well.
Oh, yeah.
And we're teaming up with them sometimes because we're not necessarily ghost hunters, but we have some equipment as well. So we're enjoying that, but we're learning a lot from the groups too. So we've taken on, we went to different sites with them. And they came along with us, and we're learning a lot from them too. So we've got like a whole gamut of things happening right now. So it's all very exciting.
Yeah, it's been very fun.
Yeah.
Lots of fun projects. So.
Exactly.
Now, I've been to your website, and it is gorgeous.
Oh, thank
you. All of our listeners out there, I highly recommend you go visit their site, which can be found at
HauntedHistoryBC.com.
Yeah. HauntedHistoryBC.com. Yes.
That's correct.
And you'll see a lot of our photos and things like that on there. So, yeah.
We have some write-ups as well, too. They're a little shorter. They're not like the full details, but you see the photographs there. And also our merchandise. We got a little bit of merchandise happening there, too. So,
yes.
I love it. So, you guys, share your ghost stories and spooky tales.
Yes, we do. So we would like to start. We always thought, you know, it's kind of interesting because you have your classic haunted places that are like houses and castles and things like that. But nobody ever really thinks about haunted schools. Mm-hmm. So that one is always kind of a interesting topic. And we have a couple of local ones. And, you know, sometimes as kids, it's funny because we don't always remember things. So that's kind of what we found, is that when we kind of go back and, you know, look at a few things, just all different kinds of things to do with creepy schools. So one of them is a haunted university.
Mm-hmm. I know. That one's a really good one. That's a great legend that's been around for years.
Yeah. So on this one, Legend has it that if you drive along University Boulevard towards UBC, which is a University of British Columbia, the campus, you may encounter a spirit. So there's a woman famously known as the UBC hitchhiker, which will ask a man for a ride. And it's kind of a classic story. So once she's inside the car, she's said to disappear into thin air. So that's kind of the calmer version of the story. And, you know, not
a calm version.
Unique, yeah, not a completely unique one, because these urban myths are very common across the globe. So usually they involve a woman, and it's, you know, typically she's wearing a white dress. She's walking along a lonely road and looking for a ride. Sometimes not even looking for a ride, but somebody kind of pulls over and maybe asks her, you know, like, do you need a ride somewhere? Are you okay? And usually the driver is a man. So once she gets into the car, sometimes she vanishes. And with the UBC hitchhiker story, this one originated sometime probably in the 1960s, we found as we researched. And it was sort of a typical, you know, dark and rainy night. The story starts, a couple got into an argument. The young girl got out of the car and then started walking. And while she's walking, of course, she's in the dark and can't see. Also, people can't see her. So she was struck by another driver and killed instantly. So supposedly this is how her spirit becomes, you know, gets to start roaming. And then, you know, to this day, it's said that her spirit still haunts University Boulevard. And it's widely a story that's widely known by students on campus. So people do kind of know about this one. And also many outside of the UBC circle, because this one does come out in numerous ghost stories that are local. And also reports by male students continue. So about the female apparition, she hitchhikes by the side of the boulevard, and they claim that the passenger just jumps right into the back seat, and then she quickly vanishes. So she kind of helps herself to a ride. She's not even asked or invited in, but she just kind of shows up. So I know. And like many urban legends, you know, the story does have different variations, like either over the years or, you know, people remember things differently or just different occurrences from this ghost. Like she might present herself in a different way too. So,
Well, it's like this one in particular with this story, the couple, there was a variation to the story, a whole bunch of variations actually. And there was one where the couple was arguing while driving along the University Boulevard heading to the UBC library. And according to male students that have picked up the ghostly hitchhiker, the spirit will jump into the rear seat and she hands them a piece of paper with the library's address on it and then quickly disappears. So, and I went to University of BC over there and I had heard stories about the main library being haunted. So it is interesting how there's a story involving with like this letter that she hands to the driver and it's an address to the library. So it's interesting. And then there are other stories too that describe the driver seeing the female hitchhiker, but they stop either to question her or let her enter their car when she suddenly vanishes in front of them.
Oh, wow.
So she doesn't necessarily always enter the car. They stop to see if they can help her or if she needs a ride and she just disappears.
All of a sudden there's nobody there.
Exactly.
Oh, that's creepy.
That is really weird.
And then there is also a very interesting story, a variation on the way the girl died. And in some cases, the girl is struck down by a drunk driver. So it might be a moral of the story too as well. So, you know, they always change over, I think, through generations and through time. And then there was the other version to the legend that describes a passenger handing a piece of paper to the driver with the address to a residential home.
Oh, okay.
That was the other one. Yeah.
You guys know the address?
She supposedly lives there or?
Well, she used to live there because when the driver arrives at the destination that's listed on the paper, the girl vanishes. But with all this confusion and curiosity, the driver decides to actually get out of the car and knock on the door of the house there. And he discovers that the owner of the house is the mom. And she, the daughter who passed away, she used to live there. And it's interesting to note that even the mom actually divulges the information to this driver. And she says that her daughter was struck down by a drunk driver on a rainy day in October after she was walking home from a Halloween party on campus.
Oh, so the plot thickens. was a Halloween party. Okay.
It always does.
Yes.
It does. And it's interesting to note, too, how the stories get a little detailed. It's not just a simple story of seeing someone just at the side of the road, but now there are details involved. And the narrative also becomes a little bit more detailed in the sense that when the girl enters the car, she complains of being cold and asking the driver for his coat. Mm. And then the driver offers his coat to her. And at some point when she disappears, the coat mysteriously vanishes. But later it is found either by the roadside, where approximately where she was struck down by a car, or on a grave site in a cemetery.
Is there any details that survived this story, such as an actual house address or a name?
No, there is. And I also heard a couple variations where even the houses are a little different, at different streets, different locations, you know, something further away from the university or at a different location. So it's interesting. But I think it's maybe more because people are just embellishing it then.
Oh, yeah. Well, and like we kind of talked about with urban legends, I think, you know, when we were doing our research, we kind of found that like the term urban legend was used by folklorists, and it kind of appeared in print around like late 1960s. And the first time it was used by somebody named Richard Dorson, and he kind of, you know, used the term urban legend. And usually there is like, we said, like a moral of a story, or there's something that is supposed to be either cautionary about an urban legend, or that's supposed to teach a lesson or something like that. So, and it's not to say that this ghost doesn't show up. Like, she might show up. Like, that'd be kind of, you know, kind of a cool sighting to have this hitchhiker. But yeah, the hitchhiker stories, like when we researched, were kind of all over the world, like literally all over the globe had their version of the mystery hitchhiker. So that's kind of interesting.
Well, you know, even going back to this story, the interesting thing is that the girl, when she hands the driver a piece of paper, the library's address is on it. But there have been reports of staff that are in the library, and they have noted that they think it is haunted. And even the security guards pointed out to some strange occurrences there. Mm-hmm. And like I said, when I was there, I have heard stories about that place. Nobody wanted to go down into the main floor down there by themselves, especially when you're at night trying to study and going to the library. And the other thing too is the librarians working the later shift too, they reported hearing eerie ticking noises similar to something like someone typing on a keyboard. So when the security guards or the librarians went to go take a look where the noise was coming from, there was nobody there.
Yes, I never think of libraries as being creepy, but when you think about like how many times we were in a library, like back in the day, like I don't know if people, I'm sure people still go, but it's really huge, like the shelves are all the way up to the, you know, ceilings. You can't really see who else is in there. Like, you know, that's kind of a weird feeling. Like we've all been like
old musty books. Right?
Yeah. And the thing
is, we always say that they always kind of smell weird too.
We remember that back in the day when there was, you know, you couldn't Google things. You had to go to the library to like do a research paper. And sometimes you were there quite late at night, you know, and there's not that many people, and it is a very kind of spooky place. So interesting.
I just remember the index cards. And it's always so, they always put the index cards in the library in the most spooky places too. You ever notice that? They're always like,
you always have to go to a graph or something. And there was
an alcove or something where you go. Yeah, absolutely.
My university was in the basement area. So it was like walking into a dungeon or something to get to the index cards.
Well, and you know, universities have a lot of history. Some of them are very old. So yeah, you never know. You never know.
No, that's true. Because people always ask, like, why do you think schools are kind of haunted? But you think of like a lot of them are built in the 1800s. Yeah. Like the actual buildings are around for a really long time. And they usually are like either brick or stone, or, you know, you look at like beautiful university campuses and you know, these buildings are really nice. So you'd think that they would absorb some kind of energy over the years of all the people that have passed through, right? So you never know.
It's interesting you say that about the buildings, because I've been working on a photography project photographing ghost towns across the Nevada and in Arizona and Southern California. And the number one building that survives in each of these towns are usually the high schools.
Oh,
for some reason, or schools in general.
Yeah,
that's really interesting to look into a little bit more in detail.
I, I just got back from Tonopah, and there's an old building that's a school there. It's a high school. And of course, they say it's really haunted. I spent last Friday at the little local pub there. No, this is Goldfield. I'm sorry, Goldfield. And all the locals will come to this one little bar. So I sat in there until about 1 a.m. And they were all telling me the ghost stories about this
school. Oh, how cool.
They said, forget about the hotel. They said, focus on the school there. The school is the most haunted building for whatever reason.
So were there accidents or just people who, like kids who haunted it? Or was it teachers? Or who were the ghosts there?
I heard so many different stories. I'm just not real sure. They said they found bones in the basement because they're trying to renovate the place, or they did try to renovate the place, or something happened. And they found bones underneath the basement. And the theory is it was a high school, so they thought that maybe they were using child labor or
something. Oh, back
and then I heard there was a teacher that murdered some kids and then the story was another one I heard was another student had killed somebody. I don't know. It goes on and on and on. They were telling me these stories all night.
Yeah.
That is, you struck gold there, CL, because if you can talk to the locals, that's what we love. Like Gina and I, we can get somebody to come and give us feedback. Even when we post stuff on our social media, oh my God, that is so amazing when we get people coming back to us and say, hey, you know, I think I heard of this too, and then they kind of reel into a different type of storyline or they give us a little bit more details and we're like, really, we didn't hear of this before. Yeah.
So yeah, they actually offer some information, right? So it's great, terms, because you always get some interesting stuff. And we've talked to security guards and just people who are around too. When you start lingering around the buildings, they sort of start to recognize you. So
we don't really look suspicious, but we look like they want to talk to
us. They do. So, and speaking of high schools,
we do
have one here that is very spooky and supposedly haunted. Now, and this one is kind of exciting because we actually had our own experience in this one too. So there was really actually nothing like a good creepy urban legend about a high school. So let's face it, who doesn't like a good ghost story that includes one of their local high schools or local schools? So British Columbia's New Westminster Secondary School really fits the bill when it comes to this type of haunting. So in fact, this ghost story is literally a mystery. So the hauntings surrounding this school are really hotly debated, because some say there's validity to the stories, and then while others say they're just myths that have been kind of perpetuated over the years. So legend has it that back in the early 70s, the school used to house an underground pool in the basement. So speaking of creepy basements, this was a pool that was in the basement, and supposedly a boy drowned in the pool. And here is where it gets a little bit confused and a little bit strange. So some people confirm the existence of the pool. They remember it. They say they remember there was a pool. Mm-hmm. And then while others say, oh no, it never existed. You know, they're thinking, oh, we went to the YMCA to go swimming, and people are just incorrectly remembering. But supposedly this boy died in the pool is the story.
Well, even to this day, the topic is up for debate. Some former students and teachers distinctly remember, I think, the pool being in the basement.
Yes.
And then it was eventually filled after the drowning.
Mm-hmm.
And others say that this is simply a ghost story, that there was never a pool, it never existed in there.
Yeah. And then, however, after the drowning of, but before the pool was filled, the security guards reported seeing the body of a boy floating in the pool. So even security guards remember seeing a body floating, and then just with your classic ghost story, then they approached the body and suddenly it disappeared, just mysteriously gone. So, you know, currently there's a theater also atop the basement, which is still in use. So that one, this particular school right now is not being used. It was rebuilt. There was a new location, and we'll tell you why in a bit. But there is a theater that's still used, and that one too, people say that they see, you know, that they see ghosts in there, and that there's still security guards reporting, you know, seeing a young boy face down in the basement, or he's standing in the theater, which is even kind of creepier.
He is. Yeah.
So he moves around. So he's not confined to the basement. So you might see him when you're going for a production. And this theater we've been inside as well.
Oh, it was. It's quite interesting.
Yeah. One day we were like driving by and literally like we were like wanting to look at it and the door was just literally opened. We're not even kidding.
There were some construction people in there.
Yeah, something was going on.
But we figured we'll help ourselves and just like walk in, you know, just take a little quick peek, you know, in and out.
And it was eerie.
It was. It was.
You know, the hollow, it's, I think it's the echoey walls too. Like when you're in a building that's supposed to have a lot of people and suddenly it doesn't, like,
right.
Like narrow hallways and all of a sudden everything gets echoey and you can hear your footsteps. And if anybody even like whispers, like you can hear it and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, you can, you're in there.
Yeah. And you know, it was interesting you mentioned that because there was like a woodworking shop incident, I think, in there too. And another variation to the story.
Yes.
Because there is not like a lot of information about the two particular urban legends. So it tells a story of a boy who lost his life in the school's woodworking shop.
Okay, so no pool this time, but
no
we're
pool,
in the wood
no,
shop.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's really strange. See, we're back to variations again on the story.
Right.
And this was like around now the late 80s. Mm-hmm. That was when it was around that time. And at that point, also the security camera captured an apparition of a boy walking just around the shop, just wandering, just aimlessly there. And also former graduates and staff remembered that the basement housed an archery range. So it never used to be now a pool, but now archery range is in there. So that basement has a lot of activity going on in there. And it, I guess people...
And apparently a lot of ways to get killed.
Exactly.
You can get shot with an arrow, you can drown, so...
That's it. A lot of people are just dying there, kind of with things here. Yes. So these guards actually have reported ghostly activity, and they even reported that they saw a man was shooting a bow and arrow in the basement and also hearing a man's voice hollering.
So it's not just the boy's ghost now. No. We're kind of hearing somebody who's, interesting.
So, yeah, these ghost stories are not scary enough. Well, there are some truths, right, Gina? You actually found out something interesting about this.
So this is the part, yes. And sometimes what happens in our research, we look at all the ghostly tales and the, you know, apparitions and all the things that people, you know, tell us happen in there. And then you look at like the real life history of a building, which we always do after the fact, we research or even before we go. And then, so this portion of the New Westminster Secondary School is situated on a historic cemetery that used to be a pioneer graveyard known as the Douglas Road Cemetery. So that was in operation from about 1860 to about 1920. So a good fair amount, you know, a few decades there. And eventually this became the burial site for prisoners, stillborn babies, mentally ill patients, poor people. We had a lot of Chinese settlers and First Nations and Sikh persons. So currently the school is kind of in disrepair, like we mentioned. So the new building's being constructed. And the cemetery was never properly decommissioned. So, you know, you can't be really used as a new project for the school to be built on that site because they didn't want to dig up everything. So, you know, it was a replacement of the high school, but there are still bones buried there. Many are unmarked.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, either by the side of the road or the proximity where, you know, there was just some... There was a lot of burial grounds that people are still saying you can't touch, and there's a lot of controversy around that. So they left it alone, and we actually recently found some new information.
Just a couple of days ago, they went and they had a report that they've actually will be demolishing the school because right now it's no longer functional, but they're building a new place, a new building just not too far away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to create a memorial for that area. So they're going to actually keep it in place and actually acknowledge it. So what was it? Just a couple days ago.
Was just an article that came out. So it's interesting how things, you know, when you keep researching, how new information comes to light. So yes, there is a burial ground. And so we had some interesting experiences. So we were kind of visiting the school from the outside to get some photos. And it was two separate occasions that we went. So the first time we went, we kind of looked around, took our photos, and then we were trying to look inside some of the rooms. Like some of the rooms were closed off and had things like blinds and, you know, wood put up and everything.
Right.
So you couldn't see. But there were rooms where you could see inside. And so we thought, well, we'll take a couple of pictures and maybe kind of like do some video from the outside. Well, the very first time I got video of something, and I didn't see this with my naked eye at first, but there was like in one, it was a break room. So it's set up like there was a little table, chair, and it was, you know, like a little fridge in there. And I was kind of doing some video just for the heck of it. And then once I played it back much later, there was like a mist that sort of moved from the left to right. And it was sort of like a greenish, whitish. And we did post that on our site. It was a while back.
And it's very prominent.
It is. And it's kind of moves from one section of the video to all the way to the other. Sort of there's a shadow even behind it and everything. So it just kind of moves. And
so it's not dust. It's not a speck of dust.
It wasn't a speck of dust.
It's literally animated and moving through.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
It's kind of floating from one side to the other. So at the time, I didn't really see it. I kind of was kind of capturing some stuff. And then back in the car, I was kind of looking through it. I thought, what is this kind of floating across the video there? But and then
the other time,
had a different.
Yeah, we went on a different occasion there.
This is bizarre.
And this time we spent a little bit more time. And, you know, we figured, you know, they'll be demolishing the school soon, probably by next year. So we figured let's get a little bit more information. So I was doing the same thing. I decided to run a little video through through window as well. And again, we always review our video shortly after. Mm-hmm. And oddly, I picked up what I would like to call our orbs, but lots of them. And they're like literally like bubbles. They're just like moving through the screen.
Which
and
is very,
it was,
very
it wasn't just one. It was like several of them, and they're all just shimmering and moving through the screen.
Yeah, and there's like a wavy sort of a thing to the video, like it's
right.
kind of, you know, just faint sort of.
Right.
I know there's something going on there.
And I know you have to be careful when it comes to that kind of stuff, because
right.
you have to be careful in terms of like the lighting aberration. But obviously,
yes.
there's no sunshine. I was under a covered area, and there wasn't any peculiar weird lighting, and it was just, I ran a short clip just a little bit, and I didn't move too much, and that's all it was. It was just these weird things going across my screen. So,
yes, they are. So
to this day, we really don't know what it is, but I would love to think that maybe it could be something a little paranormal.
You know, what's interesting about photography, I too am a photographer and been taking photos for years and years and years, but it's what's interesting about it is when you're in a place and you have an experience with a spirit or anything paranormal, that those kind of images will show up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could be a speck of dust or, you know, a shadow or a reflection in glass. Just to give you an example, I went to Key West, Florida one time and had access private access to Robert Dahl. So I spent an afternoon in the building that he's housed at. It's an old military building from, I think, 17th century. I'm sorry, 18th century.
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course, you're not supposed to take pictures with this doll, whatever. So I'm in there. I got all my camera gear set up. I start taking pictures of this doll. And in one of the images, I didn't see it at the time, but afterwards I was feeling, during the whole thing, long story short, I started feeling a male spirit or a male presence around me. And he was kind of following me around. Mm-hmm. And looking back in the photo, you see a man's face looking back from the glass that Robert Dahl's in.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it could be a reflection, but it's kind of odd that that would show up. It's like a hooded figure. And it's on my website.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We'll have to look
that's
at that again.
Creepy.
So
that's like a man's face and you're,
Yeah, those ones are. So those ones are kind of creepy. And you always kind of, you know, I think when we're in places like that too, we're pretty aware, like if there's somebody around us or standing around us, and these are not like locations that are a lot of times typically visited by a lot of people at once. Like even when you go to a museum or you go see, you know, Robert the Doll, I'm sure there's not like a lot of people like in hordes. So it's not like at the time you're taking a picture too, we're always very careful that like nobody else is in the frame or nothing's around us. So I'm sure you do the same thing. Like you kind of look for the perfect photo op, but when you get a reflection or you get a, you know, mist or whatever it is, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it draws attention for sure.
Especially if you feel it.
Yes.
Right.
If you feel there's something there, it's a whole other Yeah, so that's the two creepy schools we kind of wanted to highlight. So,
and they're very local, so it's been a long time, those stories.
Yes.
Well, thank you guys for sharing your ghostly legends. And we will be back next week for another legend, right, guys? We're going to be discussing.
So in the meantime, everybody, sleep well. Hope you
have flashlights and candles just in case.
Yes.
And remember to subscribe, like, and share our Instagram. You can find us at hashtag Small Town Tales Podcast, and we have a few giveaways, so make sure you go on and do that.